you know, for some people, power metal can be very relaxing. You know, you can just kind of like zone out and go into another world.
Yeah, I agree with that a lot, because the thing going really fast, actually, eventually, it's just like just a vibration in the background.
Yeah, it's like comforting.
Yeah.
And then you're like, you can like focus on like one of the guitars or like the vocals more, or like the orchestrations or whatever. And it just kind of becomes this whole landscape, soundscape.
The famous soundscapes.
Sup, nerds, and welcome to Powerful, a power metal podcast. My name is Kyle, and I'll be your host today, along with my friend Fernando.
Hello, everyone.
As we discuss the recent Mad With Power 5 festival, a power metal festival in Madison, Wisconsin. We've been going to this festival for the past few years, and it is a lovely time. I wanted to discuss my experience at the most recent version of the fest as we kind of wind down the American metal festival season here. We've been going to a lot of shows the past few months.
You've done almost all the big festivals this year, or all of them. Like,
yeah, so I guess there's like four American melodic metal festivals, with Hyperspace, Hell's Heroes, Prague Power, and Mad With Power. I went to all fucking four of them this year. It was very tiring, but very rewarding. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's like the Grand Slam of melodic metal, in a way.
How American crazy of you to say such a thing? Yes. Let's go to the Denny's and get the Grand Slam of American metal festivals. Yeah, exactly.
And to be clear, the we does not include me. I did not go to any of these, sadly. I should have. I probably could have gone to one of them, but I was bad with planning. So
yeah, you know, you're far away. It's hard enough for me, and I live in the damn country.
Yeah.
But anyway, there is a live stream for the people who want to check these festivals out. As far as live stream, you can still see the bands and kind of get an idea for what's going on.
Yeah, that's
not the
great
same as being there, though.
That's great. I think we can talk about more about that later, like maybe go more deep into the whole live stream thing. But maybe let's start like with the meat of things. What is, for people that don't know, the Mad With Power Festival?
So Mad With Power Festival is a metal and I guess gaming festival in Madison, Wisconsin, hosted by Ty Christian and the Lords of the Trident. They are kind of just like the centerpiece of all like American melodic metal bands. They're friends with everyone, network with everyone. And this is their festival for really kind of uplifting the upcoming bands in the American melodic metal scene.
Mm-hmm. And maybe if you've been listening to the show, you have actually heard that we had an episode where we had Ty on, and we talk about all the millions of things that he somehow manages to pull off year after year. And if you didn't know, you can, after listening to this episode, go check that one. Just, you can search probably for Powerful with Ty Christian or Lords of the Trident, and you'll find it. It's a very interesting interview and a little peek into the crazy life of this madman. I don't know how else to describe him, honestly.
The madman in Mad With Power in Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so the festival actually kicks off the night before the festival. They have a day zero, like, pre-party at a nearby bar arcade place. This year was at, I believe it was called Aftershock. So it's cool to just roll into Madison late at night, get picked up at the airport by my buddy Neb. We go straight to the party, and it's like, boom, here's all my metal buds that I haven't seen since Prague Power. Boom, I got me a beer. I got me some arcade games. Rav from Ravenous is over here playing House of the Dead on one quarter. It's all just a lovely time. I meet the guys from Adamantis, who were going to be playing the next day. It's just a super chill, very on-brand start to the event before the event has really even started. It kind of just microcosms the whole vibe of Mad With Power, of just metal and buds and beers and games and this whole, all these things that people tend to like are all in the same place.
Is that good old metal community? Because you don't just go to the show to to see your favorite band or discover a new band, but you go there to have a good time with everyone else that also likes most of the same things as you do or hates the same things that you do in some cases.
Yeah, because like we're like, oh, let's go talk about Metal Gear Solid or JRPGs or Halo for a while, just because it turns out that's what people here are into. That,
yeah, this is very similar to what happens in Prog Power, the other bigger festival in the US, where you have that the after party at the Ardmore Hotel.
But yeah, there's a little bit of that here, but this was like the, I guess, official pre-party that we started it off with.
So that's like an official part of the whole thing. Like Ty organized that as well.
Yeah, they like send a note out about it.
Oh, that's great.
And like it's not an exclusive event at the arcade. Like I heard some people being like, like normal people at the arcade being like, why are all these people with weird shirts here? And like, oh, who knows? Metal.
You just coordinate to invade, basically.
Yeah.
That's great. All
right. So that brings us to day one of the festival. So this was on Friday, August 19th of 2022. It starts at a good time, about 4:30 for the first band. Kicking it off this year was Plague of Stars. Now, Plague of Stars, they call themselves Doom / Gothic metal. I kind of thought of them as like symphonic metal, but like crunchier, if I could use that as a word.
Mm-hmm.
These guys were a fun way to start the show. Their vocalist was very, very charming. If I can remember her name, Melissa. I had a lot of fun watching these guys. They're kind of like tatted or like face painted up to be more like, oh, we're intimidating, but it's not as like brutal as they might look on the surface, I'd say. Fun start to the show, though. I think they did a good job warming the crowd up.
Nice. Very nice.
All right. They were the only band on day one that I wasn't familiar with before coming into this. There was a lot of bands I was looking forward to on day one. I think I'm happier that the day that I was less tired for was also the one with more bands I was looking forward to.
Oh, nice.
Including Empress. The second band here is Empress from Philadelphia. They're like symphonic-ish power metal. This was a very special show for them because it was the day of their debut album coming out. It was a release party for their album, basically.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, very special. So their album Fate Weaver just came out that day. We got an early press copy of it a little while back, so I was listening to that quite a bit. It's a really good album for like a symphonic metal debut. It's very like fast, very guitar driven, while not neglecting symphonic or guitar heavy side of this. Good vocals, nice production. I think better than most stuff. I think Dan Suano did that.
Mm.
Dan the man, as they say. Did you check out their album at all when we were knocking that around?
I did not. This is all going to be very new to me because I'm not familiar with most of these bands. And while you all were hyping my With Power, I was planning my own thing. So I was not really paying attention since I wasn't going. So this is all new information for me. I am the audience standing for anyone that's new to power metal in this episode.
Fair enough. Well, I think you would like Empress. Like, I mean, hell, you're in a symphonic metal-ish band. You should check them out.
All right. Sounds good.
An interesting thing about Empress's performance that kind of became a trend for most of the festival is that their bassist was really bringing the hype for the live show.
Ooh, nice.
Maybe it's because, like, the bass has like the least technical bullshit during these shows. Maybe it's because their bassist in particular had the longest hair. So he's just, you know, naturally the most powerful person on the stage. Their bassist, Nick, who also in the band Lore, talked to him right before the show. Real cool guy. That's going to generally be their vibe. Like, oh yeah, I talked to them. They're nice. They're cool. Turns out that's what most people are like here. The new wave of nice metal buds, as they put it, in the American scene. So our buddy Neb had also been hyping up Empress because he had seen them at local shows in Philadelphia. So his hyping them up plus getting their album release party stuff, just generally good vibes. I think a lot of people at the show kind of came away as fans of these guys.
That's great. No, nothing better than going to a festival and finding your new, hey, I like this band. This is great.
Exactly.
That's so good.
Speaking of other nice dudes, I mentioned earlier we had talked to a little bit of Adamantus. These guys are a pretty much just like a very riffy, power metal-y, sort of proggy at times band, but mostly pretty into the riffs, which it was kind of funny to go from the first two bands being more on the symphonic side, and then the next couple bands just being like, all right, enough of that. Let's get into the sick riffs and the shredding, which Adamantus just really kicked off for. Their bassist, again, continuing the trend of hype bassist, this dude, he's like kind of a little dude, but he's got big hair. And he like ripped his shirt off after like two songs and is just bouncing around the stage, bringing all the hype, all the crazy shredding guitars. They're big dude vocalist with like the crazy high pitch voice. You love to see it.
Damn. That's also
I think they
cool.
had some of the best merch too. Their like artwork on their albums and their shirts and stuff is really slick. I got a nice patch from them, all like blue and gold and shiny. When I eventually make a battle jacket, that'll be on there for sure.
the mythical battle jacket that someday...
It takes so much work, man.
It's a lot of work. I just don't promise it. I'm just like, I'm not doing all that. Sorry.
It's. I should have done it during COVID, but well. I've got like a drawer full of patches here that like, oh yeah, these are the ones that I've bought from like bands that like Mad With Power. I'm gonna make a thing there at some point.
Just stick them to the fridge with tape.
I do have like, I think it was like my Helium Prime crowdfunding came with a sticker, which I ended up putting out on my fridge. Oh. So shout out to them.
Oh man. And what else? So,
well, right after Adamantus was like a new part of the festival. That was this magical, mystical thing called the dinner break, or dinner slash social slash gaming break. Because Mad With Power, beyond just being a metal festival, is also like a mini nerd convention. There's free to play arcade games and pinball. Some dudes brought like a Quake LAN setup. Someone brought a Halo LAN setup, and it wasn't just regular Halo. It was like the cursed Halo that one insane YouTuber made as like a mod. There was a Magic the Gathering tournament hosted by Jason Ashcraft of every other fucking band in the American metal scene, which I was talking to him a little bit about this the next day. It seems like it went well, despite being sort of last minute and poorly planned and communicated. I think if they bring it back next year, it'll probably be a more official thing. But it's just a cool thing to have.
Yeah, definitely. Having in these kind of long festivals, just a planned moment to kind of just relax for a bit, but not just do nothing while listening to PA music. But actually, like, okay, go buy something to eat or to drink, talk to people. There's arcade machines, I think there were, you said? And LAN setups, that's insane. And then having tables to play Magic or whatever. It's a great idea, honestly. It's like this reverse convention, because usually in the conventions, you have one spot that's a band and maybe another band later, but most of it is just nothing or activities. And this is like 90% bands and a break in the middle to do all the other stuff. And that's really good.
Especially because last year it was like 20 minutes between bands. And it's like, if you want to see all the bands, you have like no time to eat other than just like, you can wolf down the pizza that they sell in the pavilion like stupidly fast, but it's not pleasant. And now I think this year is like 30 or 35 minutes between bands. So generally some more rest time if you want to, you know, grab a beer, grab a seat outside or whatever, get some fresh air. It's nice just having this pavilion section where you can still like be like in the fest, but great, getting fresh air, getting rest and all of that. You can walk further away for food. There down the block there's like a grocery store, there's a brewery, so there's just generally more options that you can do there too, besides just being stuck with festival bullshit. You can have an actual meal.
That's great. And it's only like, this is only better because of what we mentioned before. Like, most everyone there will probably like the same thing, so you can probably strike conversations with anyone and just have a nice time.
Well, yeah, you can do the classic metal show thing of, hey, bro, nice shirt, about literally anyone's shirt, and you'll, and boom, you've got a conversation going.
Yeah, that's great. That's really good. Good on you, Ty.
Yes. Right before the dinner break, or before Adamantus, I think, Ty mentioned that the dinner break was something they added, like, as a response to feedback. Because every year they send out a survey asking, like, okay, rate all these different things, and then there's the free response of what can we do better, what did you like, what did you not like. I actually just filled that out today, like an hour before we recorded, so very appropriate timing. So he said, okay, this was something that we added in response to that survey. We want to make sure people, we're making this fest as good for the people who are showing up for it as we can. And I really appreciate that. I think it was a great move. Everybody I talked to there really seemed to like it, and I'm thinking it's something they'll probably stick with for the coming future.
Mm-hmm. And that shows, like, he taking actual feedback from the people attending and actually executing on it. That's great. That's more than you can say from a lot of things in life.
It's not just bullshit.
Yeah.
The one downside of this dinner break was, after dinner, everyone maybe feeling a little full, maybe feeling a little sluggish. Immediately afterward, we had the most, like, fast, hardcore, oh my god, let's go get hype band of probably the whole festival. This was Traveler from Alberta, Canada. Calgary, I believe.
Yeah.
These guys, we saw them at Hell's Heroes a few months back, and they're just one of the coolest bands that I saw there. Just super shreddy, super fast, high speed, full speed all the time, no bullshit. We're not gonna do a ballad halfway through our fucking set. We're just gonna rip your goddamn face off. I could see these guys at, like, every festival and be totally fine with it. They're also playing at Hyperspace next year, so it's entirely possible I will see them at every festival. But, you know, that's fine, because it was super cool getting to see them again.
Yeah.
And they, like, almost didn't make it, apparently. Ooh. They're, like, connecting flight they made with, like, 10 minutes to spare or something, and then drove the last few hours here and just made it in time. So I'm really glad I got to see them. They were a little late, like, setting up merch and everything, but they made it, and they played that damn show.
Nice. That's great. Actually, I remember Traveler. I've listened to Traveler. It's cool, speedy, riffy metal. That's a tough, sounds like a tough one when your stomach is full.
Yes, they, and there's a similar band that played right after the dinner break on the second day too, which I don't think was strictly planned to be that way, but maybe we have, like, the chill symphonic band, like, after dinner, and then the, like, riff heavy band, but, you know, it's fine. We recovered. Just have another beer or some more of the mead that they have on tap there, and, you know, it's all good. After Traveler brought us into Master Sword, which is a Legend of Zelda themed power metal band, I believe from Washington, D.C. I was looking forward to seeing these guys. I'm kind of obligated to be into them as the Zelda themed band, as me as the self-proclaimed Zelda fan, one might say. They're, a cool thing about their set is, like, they incorporate, like, music and melodies and stuff from Zelda into their just, you know, like, straightforward metal songs too. So it was kind of like a game of, like, hey, that's the thing, and you do, like, the Leo pointing meme throughout the show.
That's fun. But is it actually good? Do you approve of the material?
Yes, they are still a very good metal band as well. They didn't have a bassist on stage with them, and they seemed less hyped than the other bands. Until, like, their last song came on, and then they just, like, almost, like, came alive as a band. It was kind of weird how much more energy their last song had. It might be so their singer was, I think she'd been having, like, throat problems or something, and she's like, I don't know if I'm gonna make it for this last song. If someone, like, brought me, like, a shot of Jack or something, and then, you know, 30 seconds into the song, someone brought her a shot of Jack, which just made for a great stage hype moment there.
Oh, cool.
I think she also had, like, the most elaborate outfit of the show, maybe. Ooh. With her, like, fancy dress with, like, the Sheikah symbol on it, the Zelda tattoo, and all the cool stuff there. Actually, there was a guy in the day two who probably, I think, had better tattoos. Or was that this band? I'm getting everything kind of merges together. There was a dude with, like, a full body Dark Souls tattoo at one point. I think it was a drummer.
Wow.
I think it might have been in Master Sword, so a little off there, but still got a great time.
Nice.
All right. after Master Sword leads us into the headliner for day one. This was Aetherrealm, those guys, the Redneck Vikings from Hell / North Carolina. I've seen these guys a couple times recently with the Unleashed the Archers tour last year and then Prog Power just a couple months ago. But they're always a super great time. The melodic death metal / sometimes folk metal, not really power metal, but fuck it. They're really cool guys and they play fun metal and put on a great show. I was super happy to see them again. Redneck Vikings from Hell, the title track, might just be like the best opening track to a metal show I think is possible.
Whoa.
It is just so hype, so fun.
That's high praise. That's high praise.
Yes. It just instantly gets you going.
Mm. Cool.
Aetherrealm, they do a great set list too. I think they know, like, what are their best songs that really get people going live. Even the slower songs, they still do a good job of turning into like a fun live performance. Like Guardian, for example, is basically a ballad, but it's like the one time where I'm not bummed out by the live band doing a ballad, because they have like the sing-along melody part. This time they even had Rav from Ravenous on stage doing guest vocals during Guardian.
Nice.
Which was cool. I should mention Rav this whole time was hosting the live stream on the Lords of the Trident Twitch stream. So in between bands, he would go around just talking to people at the fest, talking to like the merch people or the bartenders, just like playing games or chatting up people, hyping things up. Then during the show, they had like a multicam set up to stream the entire festival to people, which I assume there's an archive of if people want to check that out. Just generally cool if you want to check that out. Rev, you know, I'm sure it's legal for him to just happen to end up on stage and just do some volunteer work. It's not really.
He didn't get paid.
You don't need a work visa for that, right? Yeah.
He didn't work at all. He was just visiting.
He was just visiting and then he was just singing a little bit. It's fine. You can do that. The IRS got nothing. Okay. They can fuck off. They also had, they had guest vocals during Swamp Witch. I did not catch the woman's name who came up and did guest vocals during that, but I wish I did. Generally, always a cool thing to have during live shows is just saying, hey, we've got another person.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. That always makes it a bit more special to be at that one show where they have the guest. So it makes it more, a bit more unique.
Another very special thing about this Aetherrealm performance. So I don't know if you remember, but when we talked about Prog Power, we mentioned there was a guy there who was basically cosplaying as Jake from Aetherrealm.
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
So that guy was there at Mad with Power as well.
Ooh.
But not just him. A whole group of, like, I don't know, six other people all coordinated having the same Jake cosplay.
Damn.
Yes. Funnily enough, Jake did not wear that same outfit. Like, they were perfectly matching at Prog Power, but he was wearing a different outfit at Mad with Power. So I think all the Jake cosplayers were in the front row appropriately for the Aetherrealm show.
Amazing. That's amazing.
Which was really just super sick. And he's like, apparently there's like an official Jake outfit now, which is like, okay, it's like the black paladin shirt and like a red and black flannel vest, all sleeveless, of course, with like a backwards cap on or something. So there you go. And like they were selling like the cut off like red and black.
Oh, really?
Flannel sleeves like signed by the band members as like impromptu merch at the merch booth.
Wow. That's great. That's hilarious.
Always a good time when the Aetherrealm boys are coming to town.
That's great.
Oh, one of the most important things I totally forgot to mention back during Adamantis. They leveraged one of the most important things to make a live show instantly better.
Mm.
That is swords.
Ooh.
Okay. So at the start of their set, they had their drummer during like the atmospheric intro was just like holding up a sword, like leading the band in. And then during the last song, the vocalist pulled out a sword and just like is brandishing it during the last song for the extra hype. And then I had forgotten to mention this as well. At the very end of the last song, the singer holding the sword pointed to like a bunch of people in the front row and is like, all of you come up on stage with us. And everyone just is like headbanging and singing along with like five extra people on this very tiny fucking stage. But just really added to the hype of that Adamantus show.
Nice. That's great. That sounds like a great time.
Yeah. I was thinking about crowd interaction, that brought that back to mind.
So that's a very hyped up day one, to be honest.
Yes. Very hyped day one. Aether Realm, I think, brought new life into me, as I was able to stay up partying with friends and stuff at the hotel for another few hours after this. You know, pounding beers and snacks and just hanging out with the buds. Aether Realm even comes by at one point. We're like, hey, what's up? The craziest thing about this whole night. So at like 2:30 in the morning, I'm Ubering back to my hotel. The Uber driver's like, oh, you know, what are you doing to Madison? Oh, I'm here for a metal festival. He's like, oh, I just discovered this metal band. I wonder if you'd like them. He goes through like his YouTube history and pulls up, of all bands, Aether Realm. And I'm like, are you fucking serious? Dude, they just headlined the show two nights. They are staying at the hotel you picked me up from. Like, and the just most absurd coincidence I think I've ever come across in the metal world. This was insane. He's like, oh yeah, they've got a song that's like 20 minutes long. And I'm like, yes, they do. Yeah. They just played the whole damn thing at that show I was just at. Oh my god.
Oh man.
It was glorious. So they got a new fan in that random Uber driver.
But that happens. That happens. You know. Not everyone is always following everything that all their bands they like are doing. Like, and they miss things quite often.
Right, because at the end of the day, all of this stuff is super niche, super small world. Like, in the real world, no one knows what the fuck any of this stuff is. When someone's like a big deal band in our scene, like, you can say, oh man, Aether Realm, the headliners. It's like, they're just some guy.
Some guy, yeah.
That's got to be like the nice level of quote-unquote fame to have, where it's like, you can live a normal life, but then you can still just get people who are excited to see you on rare occasions.
Mm.
And I guess fitting into the casual vibe of Mad with Power, I was taking a piss right before the Aether Realm set, and taking a piss right alongside me is the aforementioned Jake from Aether Realm. He was complaining about his iPhone or something. I was like, oh, you know, you roll into the Apple store, you got that like headliner money and clout now. Like, yeah. Do you know who I am? I am a rock star. Like, sir, please leave.
Yeah. Man, the headliner money. Oh, it hurts exactly. To think about it.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they pay great at power with the very cheap tickets, all things considered.
Yeah, because this is not, well, let's talk about that for a bit. This is not that expensive per se, like the ticket prices for this festival. It's not insane. Oh, no.
The general admission is, I don't remember what it was. It's like $50 maybe. It's not a lot for like 2 days, 12 bands, free arcade stuff. Yeah, it's very reasonably priced as far as the actual festival. The expensive part is the flights and the accommodations to fucking Madison.
Yeah, it's a bit out of the way.
It's out of the way for everyone. Most people at the fest seem to be from like the Midwest area. You get some Southerners, maybe some New Englanders. I think the only West Coasters I ever talk to at these things are me and Jason Ashcraft.
Mm.
You never get any like, oh yeah, I'm from Portland. Like, none of that. Shout out to Portland, you know. We need more West Coast people in the metal scene. It can't just be me and Jason.
Yeah. And like, Portland shouldn't be that far compared to you. Looking at the map.
No.
It's still far.
No, well, yeah, get. Oh, I should have put Silver Talon as a band that they should get. I forgot to put them on the list. Damn it. All right. Well, next time.
Next time.
Speaking of next, on the next day, there is another official-ish event, which is the Cheese Curd Massacre. The Massacred, if you will. That is, there is a farmer's market around the Madison Capitol on Saturday in the morning. Ty makes it a thing to get as many metal dudes and people out there with their long hair and their black shirts and whatever to descend upon this farmer's market and try to sell out as many cheese curds as they can, which they had started last year and did it again this year. Very fun event to just see this. At one point, I was like crossing the street and some normie like commented like, oh, there's a whole bunch of metal people or something. And another thing was happening in downtown Madison this exact same time. There were a lot of people dressed up in Alice in Wonderland outfits.
Interesting.
And I looked it up and there was like some local like escape room place was doing like a one day only like immersive Alice in Wonderland event.
Wow.
Which is why a ton of people were dressed up in Alice in Wonderland outfits alongside the metal people and just normal farmers market goers.
Whoever
went
that
strange
day,
combination.
Imagine just someone strolling out for their weekly farmers market purchases, and it's like, what is going on? Why is everyone dressed in black? Why are all these people like in fantasy outfits? What is going on? Is this the Victorian era? What?
Yeah, it was such a strange combination, but really cool to see during the festival or during the farmer's market. Someone will usually play the bard song on their phone speakers and have like the whole crowd people singing the fucking bard song. It's this like harbinger of doom. Oh man, you can hear them coming off in the distance. they coming.
Oh man,
it's you might call it cringe, but you got enough people there to make it normal. So
it sounds it sounds like a nice time because it's a nice song to sing along to. It's like a very campfire song. And the setting is like, you could say that's like metal in inappropriate places, but that song is very campfire-y, so it's fine.
Yeah. If anything, it just makes it look like a bunch of cult members instead of like metal people, I guess.
Yeah, a bit.
So it's fine.
It's fine. Just terrorizing Madison yearly with the people that come and sing the song and then disappear for a year.
That's fine. Like the people of Madison, I wonder if they are like familiar with Ty.
They are.
He's like the executive director of the like local music foundation or some shit. Because of course he is.
Of course he's. I remember he got I don't remember if it was him or the band that got some like local prize for arts and things like that. So he was like, yeah, this band is making music in Madison, so they get the local Oscar to the local Grammy to musicians. So
the local Grammy.
He's probably well connected in his city.
For sure. All right. That brings us into day two of the festival, where this was kicked off by Queen of Dreams. Now this band, I'll admit I had kind of low expectations going in because they were a last minute replacement for Super Mad Ness, who got like sick a week before.
Mm.
So I'm like, okay, last minute replacement. They're from Madison. They're friends with Ty because, you know, of course they are.
Of course.
But I was actually really into their show. They were a progressive power metal band, pretty like straightforward Euro power metal, I would say, style.
Mm.
They were the only band the whole damn festival to do live keyboards. No fucking backing track. They had live keyboards,
nice.
Including the keyboardist switching off between regular keyboard and keytar.
Oh, yeah.
Which was also really cool.
That's the
like,
way.
She did like a dueling thing with like her keytar and then the guitarist's guitar. I think they're brother and sister because they look like exactly the fucking same. So, you know, good family fun here at Madison. So big shout out to Queen of Dreams. I was really into their songs. Their vocalist, I thought, was really strong. Their bassist did not follow the trend of hype bassists. I don't think their bassist moved at all throughout the whole event, but oh well. The thing that I think kind of got me with them, I put on their debut album that just came out this year a few days ago. Production's kind of rough, but I think the songs are fun, and I will think they'll be one to watch going forward.
Cool.
So like you said, you know, you can discover cool new bands here.
Yeah.
There we go.
That's the best.
I was very excited with them.
Nice.
All right. Following the trend of like symphonic-y or keyboardy things going into straight riffs. Next up was Throne of Iron, a like very nerdy new wave of traditional heavy metal type band from Indiana. They're like, yeah, this is like the one time we come out of our basements at stop playing D&D to play our metal show. They're like main guy who did like so they only had two guys on stage, so drummer, two guitarists, one of whom did vocals. So relatively tight group here. Their main guy with his like headband, denim jacket, Manila Road shirt. I'm like, you can just tell immediately looking at this guy, like, this is the kind of metal this guy's gonna play. I was kind of disappointed they didn't do a Necropolis cover, but it's fine because they were super fun. They had like a pit of like five people, including me, during one of their songs. And he's like, oh, shout out to the guys pitting during that song. It was super great. Just pure metal. Good, clean living. Loved it. And their main guy, who I should probably look up his name, Tucker Thomason. He was really sick.
Nice.
High energy from him. Loved it a lot. I think cool. It was right after Throne of Iron that I was caught by Rav to appear on his live stream. So I talked them up. So I was really excited about the riffs while also like downing mead or something.
That's great. That, having fun between the sets and with the stream and everything, it also adds a bit more of fun to the whole festival.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see Rav just kind of walking around with like the portable camera thing. I have no idea how audio was going to work on that stream, because like there's house music, there's conversations. It doesn't look like the camera thing he had like a crazy good microphone. Maybe it worked. I haven't actually checked the stream. But if people weren't complaining, cool.
As long as you have like was it like a camera? What kind of camera was it? Did it have a microphone on top of it?
I didn't notice one. It was this like little thing on top of a stick. It was, I don't really know how to describe it.
It was a small. It wasn't like
It was very small. Yeah.
Okay. It probably had
like a few inches.
Maybe the built-in microphones. We're good enough to just capture what's in front of it. Usually that's what I'm assuming, fine.
Yeah. Speaking of which, the house music at the Mad with Power is always phenomenal. When I mentioned that to Ty, he's like, oh, it's the sound guy who picks it. It's not me. I'm like, oh, shit. Shout out to the sound guy.
Good taste. The
unnamed sound guy with amazing taste. At one point, I think it was The Black Mare by Dragonland came on, and that one got a lot of response from the crowd because it's not like it's a little bit of a deep cut, but super amazing song that really got the crowd excited.
Cool.
That brings us into the next band, Deathlehem, which amazing name for a band. They're like a melodic death metal of Ty calls them. They're like their band from another mother because they do a lot of like similar to Lords of the Trident. They do a lot of stage gimmicks. They have like the armor and the costumes. Their drummer, I think, is my favorite outfit because he wears this like knight helmet, but the eyes like have lights and glow red on like the inside. I don't know how this guy functions, but okay. So cool. I had heard interesting things about these guys. I had no idea how this was gonna go. Right before the show starts, they like toss out like dozens of foam swords for people to hold up, which swords always make live show better. Doesn't matter the form. Reminded me of a paladin throwing up like the blow up swords at Prog Power. These are foam though. I think they're branded with Deathlehem too because, you know, merchandising opportunity. They all come out with like their robes and their armor. They're kind of remind me of Brothers of Metal in the sense that they have one guy who mostly does like narration and hype man stuff. Yes, he'll like introduce things as if it's like a D&D campaign almost. At one point, he'll like ask the crowd what they want to fight next, whether it's like a demon horde or a bunch.
He's the DM of the band.
Yeah, they have a DM, basically. He like has like a little book of like of spells or lore or whatever you want to call it. At one point, they, you know, at like a sports game, people like knock around a beach ball or something.
Yeah.
Do they do that in Buenos Aires? I don't know.
Yes.
So they did that, but instead of like a beach ball, it was in a giant inflatable D20.
Which I didn't even know existed. That's really cool. I've never seen that. That sounds so much fun.
Yeah, so you're just knocking around this inflatable ball while also in the metal show. It was very strange.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, this is basically if Lords was a death metal band.
Oh,
this
man.
This is what it would be.
that's a cool show.
Yeah, it was definitely an entertaining show. I was happy to see these guys. That brought us into dinner day two after fighting demon hordes as part of our fucking D&D campaign.
Anything
dinner break again.
Crazy.
I think this was a chiller dinner break time. I went down the street to a brewery, got some mac and cheese. Lots of cheese involved in this particular festival.
Who would have thought?
I didn't mention, after the cheese curd massacre, we got dinner down or lunch downtown at this brewery. I had like the most Midwestern meal I could like conceive of. We got Oktoberfest beers with deep fried cheese curds. I got a burger that was like a beef patty and a bratwurst patty, like bacon, onions, aioli on a pretzel bun.
What?
Just exactly. So just as like Midwestern as I can get. It was glorious. And I went back to the hotel and took a fucking nap. So I had cheese involved in, I think, every single meal at this at this festival, and a good amount of beer.
Damn.
Shout out to the Spotted Cow beer. That one, I think, was my favorite.
All right.
So, like I mentioned, a sort of incidental problem is that right after dinner is when, like, the heaviest, riffiest, shreddiest bands went on. That was, again, followed up with Mega Colossus this year. I hadn't listened to any of Mega Colossus beforehand. One of my buddies at the fest had mentioned that they were one he was looking forward to today. So I'm like, ooh, this should be cool. And yeah, they really brought the house down with all the shredding and the riffs. These guys were super great as well. They were one that I've kind of gone back to and listened to their top songs on Spotify after the fest was over. Just be like, this is fucking sick. Yeah.
Nice.
Also from North Carolina, apparently. The South is like the place with all the good metal these days, or at least more East Coast than West Coast, and that bums me out.
Mm.
There's so many good bands on the East Coast, which a lot of them I'm trying to get Ty to do next year, but oh well.
Baby steps.
Yes.
Maybe the West Coast will get back into the scene eventually.
I'll have to do it my own damn self.
Yeah, that's the spirit.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Mega Colossus, again, super hype. This brings us into Lords of the Trident, who the fuck keeps booking Lords of the Trident at these festivals?
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, no, nepotism is what it sounds like, man. I don't know. Who's jerking off the promoter? I mean, it's got to be some kind of deal going on there, right?
Yeah, something under the table. They keep showing up. They always get the good spot.
Yeah, you know, second from the headliner, like... I think the crowd was the most packed for Lords of the Trident. This is kind of the vibe I've gotten going to Mantle of Power a few times.
Hmm.
And that there's a lot of like just local people going to this, I think, just for Lords of the Trident. Because that was the most packed I recall the venue being, was just specifically for them.
Whoa.
Yeah. This was, and you know, I've seen them a few times, but they're always very fun to watch. They have all their stage gimmicks like ties, lighting things on fire, pulling out weapons of a variety of sorts. They've got the giant flag during their pirate sea shanty sing-along thing that they do. They played a song I don't think I'd seen them play live before, which is Brothers of Cain, which is a super fun song. I was glad to see that. They did a lot of songs off their relatively new album, The Offering. They had played a bunch of songs as a preview of that last year, and I was happy to see pretty much most of the best songs off of that album is what they've added to their live repertoire.
Nice.
With very nice. Ty has a, he's like grown his hair out over the pandemic, which, mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, cool to see as a metal guy. It does make me a bit worried when he's like flailing around a flaming microphone in front of his face.
Yeah, that's sketch. You gotta be real careful with the distances and where you stand. Otherwise,
Yeah, I assume he knows what he's doing at this point, but just be careful there, bud.
Yeah.
Or like the sword that he like lights a sparkler on it. So the sword is like exploding while he's waving it around. It's like, it's cool from like a metal watching perspective, but there's always just that little thought in the back of your head or the front of your head.
That's a beat. Oh. Yeah.
And they also brought back our friend Rav from Ravenous, also did some more guest vocals during one of their songs. I think it was it Champion? Is he that or Charlatan? I'm getting those two mixed up. But yes, it was nice to have Rav there doing some extra guest vocals. It made sense because Ty had done guest vocals during the Ravenous performance at Mad with Power, or at Hyperspace, excuse me. So, you know, a little back and forth there, a little camaraderie in the scene. Good to see it.
Nice. Yeah, it's very nice having all these little crossovers to actually show in the festivals and everything when you are seeing them live, because there's a thing that most people, I think, are not aware of sometimes how interconnected bands are in the different scenes they play in. And it's great when you can actually see it on the surface, like, oh yeah, they are guesting in each other's shows all the time, so they are friends. Sometimes a lot of that gets relegated to the background, and where most of the general public are not aware. But with stuff like this, you know, and I think that helps build a stronger fan base for everyone.
For sure. And plus, you know, you get the crossover appeal with all the fans, for people who are like, who's this guy that keeps coming up on stage for the guest things? Oh, it's exactly. Mr. Ravioli. Oh, okay, cool. And then Ravenous gets more fans, and then we complain at them for not playing live shows. And then it's...
We'll keep complaining, don't worry.
Of course. All right. So then we go into the headliner for day two, headliner of the whole festival, a band called Psycho Stick. Now, I'd never heard any of Psycho Stick. I was wondering, what is their psycho shtick, one might say. So before the...
Okay, hold on, yes, hold thank on. You. How long have you been planning that joke?
I said it during the festival, so a week, maybe, I guess.
Okay, we can move on now. Okay. I just want everyone to know your preparation goes into, like, this is the Patreon money at work, people.
I didn't use the Patreon money to pay for my attendance at this festival. Fucking should have, though. But anyway, so a guy had kind of described it to me before their set as being like comedic, like new metal or like metalcore stuff, and I'm like, what the fuck? And I think my real first impression of this band was their merch booth. I walk into the festival for day two. They have like a whole separate section beyond just the normal merch section just for Psycho Stick. And they're like dozen shirts, all of which are differently styled yet very aggressive, as they're like, or mostly like parodying different things. Like they have like a Danger Zone shirt. They have a shirt that's just like, fuck you, Psycho Stick hates you. So like a lot of like, we'll say aggressive, but tongue-in-cheek style art and merch. And I'm like, what the fuck is this band? All right, so these guys eventually, it took forever for the like projector to get set up to do the video for the bands for next year, which we'll get to, and then for the audio setup to get set up for these guys. They come out on stage. They're all wearing these like big goofy hats. Like the main guy has like a bunch of spikes on it. Their bassist has like giant inflatable moose antlers. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? This is probably the strangest metal show I've seen in my life. So they kick it off by being like, all right, this is the world's shortest set. They play like half a second. I'm just going, burn! And they say, all right, thank you, good night. And then they start to leave. And like, okay, we'll do an encore. So the whole show is just... It's hard. It's not like your standard metal show at all. It's very much like a comedy act, but also mixed in with like metalcore, like sort of brutal stuff mm-hmm. as well. A lot of their songs will be like metal slash comedic takes on other songs. So like they have like, you know, they open with Let the Bodies Hit the Floor, but it's I Can Only Count to Four. And so it's bullshit like that. They yeah. did like, there was like a cover of like the Ghostbusters theme. They did like a kazoo version of the Imperial March in the middle of a tribute to Bruce Campbell. It's so out there. It is such an odd show. There's like a ballad about genitals. There's a lot of bits that they do, including one that seems slightly dangerous, but was entertaining to watch, where it's like halfway through the set, they pull out this like the straw hat, the sombrero thing. And they're like, all right, who is the toughest motherfucker in the room? And, you know, they pick some person who seems to be like, you know, a tough motherfucker. They give this person the hat and they say, all right, during this next song, I want you guys to try to take the hat from that person. And they go into this like brutal breakdown, and it turns into like a mosh pit, but even more dangerous than a mosh pit. Damn. Because people are destroying this targeted mosh pit. And then like after like a minute of that, they'll just be like, stop. And like the hat's broken into like 20 pieces at this point. Like, if you have a piece of the hat, hold it up. If you see that person, take a piece of the hat from them. And then they go back into the song. And
oh man.
When they first brought the hat out, like one of the guys on stage is like, I heard someone say uh-oh when they saw us bring the hat out. So people who had seen them before are like, no, like, oh shit, this is where it goes down. Someone like lost a shoe in this madness and like was holding that up and was like, who needs, I guess the shoe is now part of this game as well. It was nuts. This, like, everyone is kind of tired at this point after 12 bands of the festival.
Yeah.
Which the band was, and it was like midnight when they fucking started the set. So, like, they're making jokes about it too. Of like, all right, we're old. Our knees are bad. We need to go to bed. So it's fun though. Like, I don't know if this is like the type of music I would listen to just on my own. But as far as a live show goes, it was definitely an experience.
Mm.
And I think you could tell that the crowd was very different for their set. I think a lot of the power metal people had kind of filed out, and there were a lot of non-typical metal going people who were going the most insane during the Psycho Stick set, which was a little odd. Something that kind of struck me, and I just kind of noted during the festival this year, the headliners at this year's festival were like notably not power metal. Like Aether Realm and being Melodeath, but close enough, so fuck it. And Psycho Stick being whatever the fuck they are. As opposed to previous years where headliners were like Seven Kingdoms and Immortal Guardian, so very power metal. Theocracy is power metal. Lords is power metal. So all in all, I thought it was a bit odd to have like these non-power metal headliners, but it was still entertaining. I think next year is going to be very power metal for the headliners. We'll get to that. So it kind of made this year odd, but still entertaining to kind of have the mixture of styles in it anyway at our quote unquote power metal festival.
But it was still good shows. Like the styles of the bands were a bit different, but still within the ballpark of what you would enjoy.
Oh, one of the, this is kind of random, but one of the more entertaining things I noticed during the Lords of the Trident set was when there was a bunch of crowd surfers, including one of the sound guys, like ended up crowd surfing. He just like got on stage and jumped off, and there you go.
Sure, why not?
And it was the guy who had been like helping set up like all the microphones and like instruments and stuff during the set. I'm like, I wasn't expecting the sound guy of all people to be the crowd surfer.
That's so unprofessional. But you gotta take your chances.
It was cool,
I guess.
It was during a Lords of the Trident set, so fine.
The boss is playing. It's the time to go jump.
Yeah, Ty can't get mad at me. He's busy right now.
That's great. Gotta take your chance.
I don't know if it's the same sound guy who did the house music or not, but I'll just assume it wasn't, say he deserved it.
Yeah. That's great. That's so much fun.
And then there were a couple other like random people who got picked up in crowd surf during that as well.
Mm.
One of the like I guess wholesome moments during the fest, I think this was during the mosh pit of Lords of the Trident, was at one point he saw a bunch of people like kind of like stop the moshing and pull out their phone flashlights and look on the ground. I think someone had lost like a glasses lens and they ended up finding it and putting it back in their glasses.
Ah, good job, crowd. Good job.
So good job, crowd. It's always lovely to see people who have good pit etiquette, which I think was followed at Mad with Power this year. Good job, team.
Well done.
Yeah, most of the pitting was for, there were some for Adamantis, Traveler, of course. Aether Realm got some. Lords got a little bit. There was a little bit during Throne of Iron. I can't remember if it was during Mega Colossus. I assume there was. It would have been appropriate. And everyone had a good time, all things considered.
Nice. That's a solid 2 days.
Oh, yeah. It was. I was very tired, but it was a super fun 2 days. Always love going to the festival.
Also, I think you mentioned that it was before the headliner, before Psycho Stick, you got the announcement of the next festival. Should we talk about that?
Yes, let's talk about what's going down next year. So next year is Mad with Power going big time. They are leaving behind the High Noon Saloon with its like 300 person capacity and moving up to a venue like across the street called the Sylvie, I think, with like a 1500 capacity or some shit. Once they like make room for all the like arcade games and stuff. It looks like it'll have more seating, which will be nice to have to, you know, conserve energy at strategic moments during the festival. So they, Mad with Power always themes their festivals and their announcements and stuff after a classic video game. It's like they did like Mario Brothers 3 during the third one. They did Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles during the fourth one. This year was a Mega Man theme. And I've been wondering during the fest, like, oh, I wonder what they might do for next year. For six, well, they could do like Final Fantasy VI. You know, that's like a classic video game. And I had just played Final Fantasy VI, so it was like top of mind for me. And then what do you know? They start the video. They've got like Terra and Edgar and Cells fighting a Final Fantasy battle. They like cut in like the Final Fantasy VI opening credits along with the opening like announcements of the band. So I'm like, ha, I fucking called it. It's Final Fantasy VI next year. Nobody cares about this other than me, but fuck it. I felt very proud and vindicated by this.
Well done.
But anyway, we'll get into the actual fucking bands. So they've got, you know, a much bigger venue to fill next year. They've still amount of power out the first few years, but, you know, that's small time. We got to be big boys now. So, like, all right, who the fuck's going to be on this lineup that Ty keeps hyping up? Well, starting off, we've got Wilderun, the proggy boys from, I think, Boston, who are just really awesome, and I had a good time seeing them at Prog Power this year. After that, we've also got Greyhawk. This is, I think, the only band I hadn't listened to much of, but they also do, like, very riffy power metal, that, and I know a lot of people in our circle of friends seem to like them, so I'll be very excited to see them live as well. We've also got the staple of the American power metal scene, the Seven Kingdoms. They had just been playing at the fest a couple years ago, toured with Unleash the Archers, amongst other several bands. Always a super great time to see live. They just had a new album this year that was pretty solid, so I'll be looking forward to seeing more Seven Kingdoms next year. I think our Seven Kingdoms also playing Prog Power next year. That'll be sick too. There is a bit of overlap with festivals coming up here, which we will see. I think Greyhawk are also doing Hyperspace, for example. Wilderun here just played Prog Power. Upcoming bands also just are playing or had just played Prog Power, which it might be a problem as if there's more overlap, if bands might steal fans from each other, or people might get fatigued of seeing the same bands. I don't know. This will be an interesting thing to see as the American scene continues to develop.
Yeah, and this is mainly happening because of all the troubles that Prog Power has had to do their usual. We'll bring the one the bands that are from outside the U.S. and Canada that normally wouldn't tour the U.S. at all. We'll bring them to do their one show here, and they haven't been able to do that as they usually did for the past almost 3 years.
Yeah. Prog Power has to dip into the reserves of American bands that don't have visa issues more now.
And usually you would only see these bands in the other festivals, not at Prog Power. But the reality of the country and everything meant that Prog Power has been losing that we run into this overlap, which can also mean like, okay, maybe it's like people can choose to go to the festival that's better for them in terms of travel in a way.
Yeah, it's more opportunities to see these bands. So if you've never seen them, it's good from that perspective too.
Yeah, it's not all negative.
No.
But it's a bit like, if there's too much overlap, each festival starts losing their uniqueness in a bit, in a way.
Yeah, there is less unique identity as far as which bands are there is concerned. Which I think as far as all the bands on next year's lineup, there's two that I haven't seen so far, including the next band on the lineup, which is Power Glove, which is the like premier video game themed power metal, at least as far as I know. I'm not sure how they do their live shows when they have like guest vocalists on like half of their tracks that I doubt they're bringing over. It's not like Mark Hudson's going to come over for this.
I don't think people should expect Mark Hudson to be there, honestly.
Probably not. But, you know, he might do
I would
it.
Be, I personally would be fine with an instrumental show. But I know most people aren't.
You can still do fun things with that. I'm sure it'll be a good show. I've been wanting to see these guys. They've toured before, but I had never got a chance to see them. Like, I've listened to Power Glove since, like, high school or college or something. So it'll be fun to finally see those guys. Speaking of finally seeing a band, they've also got Lords of the Fucking Trident on the bill for next year. Imagine that.
Imagine that. That's the true gem that people need to go check out that you can only get at this fest, and it's crazy. Yeah, totally unexpected.
Little underground band who Taya mentioned they're apparently going to like tour Japan a little later this year. I don't know if that's still happening, but good on them if they can pull that off.
That'd be awesome.
Make connections, get a Japanese band over here, Ty, fucking coward.
Oh, man. Yeah. Right? It's just unbelievably expensive and hard to do, but
yeah.
But yeah. You know. Do it.
just fucking do it.
Any band. The rest, you just bring one and then the rest will follow, hopefully.
Yeah, we were hoping for that after Galnerius played Prog Power, but we're still waiting. And anyway, up next, we've got Seven Spires, who I am super stoked that Ty got them for this year. They did like a New Year's live show with them for New Year's this year. So I'm like, all right, they're in, they're buddies. There's no way Ty doesn't get them from Out of Power at some point here. So it makes perfect sense that they would be coming around. I'm very excited to see them here, even though I just saw them twice, but they were really good. So fuck it. See them again.
Yeah.
For all we know, like they'll crank out like another album and a half or hour and a half long album by the time.
Yeah, probably.
They're fucking monsters. Like Adrian's off touring Europe with like Avantasia and shit. The rest of it might be like doing music or something. I don't know.
It's true though that they fast tracked the previous album because of the lack of touring.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I will not pressure them to get another hour and a half of music.
Pressure them.
I'm fine with them just playing a lot of live shows. I would love to see them sometime because every time I catch some video of any of their live shows, it's really, really great. Great performances.
Yeah, despite having like their whole touring totally fucked up with COVID happening like a month after their second album came out, and they had like two tours lined up, they were all set to go, and then boom, nothing. So they I think they're making up for that and doing an okay job of it. Happy to see them at all these festivals and the Dragon Force tour, obviously. All right, that brings us into one of the headliners, because they haven't announced the other one yet. The finally announced, the band that Ty's been trying to get since probably before I even started going to Mad with Power. Finally, they'll have Unleash the Archers headlining Mad with Power number 6 here.
Finally.
The premier melodic metal band of the Americas, pretty much. They're like the only one that ever goes to fucking Europe, so I'm happy to finally get Unleash the Archers headlining this year. I think that it makes perfect sense.
Yeah
I've seen Unleash the Archers a few times, and plus they're also doing Prog Power next year, but they're fucking great. So hell yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah, this is great because people have been like expecting it to happen for the previous two, I would say. It's like, yeah, why is Unleash the Archers not playing Mad with Power? Like,
yeah, after like the third one, Ty's like, oh yeah, I'm hoping to unleash the headliner pretty soon. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. And then, you know, bullshit has happened.
Yeah.
And we're finally here. Like 4 years finally later or happened. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's finally happening. I think, and there's still a few more bands to announce. They've got 7 so far. I think the plan is to do 12 again next year. Maybe 10. Maybe they'll do longer sets or something. We will see. But even just on its own, I feel like you've got some of the best metal bands or of like the melodic small time scene in the Americas all at this festival here for next year. I've seen a lot of hype around the lineup for next year amongst the, like, you know, comments on like Reddit or YouTube or Discord or, you know, wherever you find such things these days.
Mm-hmm. And these are, so he announced 7 bands.
Yes.
We don't know. We know that Unleash the Archers is a headliner, but we don't really know if the other bands are all in the same day or not. We don't know schedule or anything.
Lords, I assume, will go second to last.
Yeah.
I'm assuming 7 Spires are going to be the second to last on the first day then, because they seem relatively big name these days.
Yeah.
Then whoever ends up headlining day one, I think Ty's still nailing them down. Mm-hmm. Plus, maybe I kind of hope they get a few more like of the small bands I've never heard of to just kind of fill in some of the earlier slots, because they make for a nice surprise here as well.
Yeah.
Like we had like just even like Empress having like the debut album show, or even the Queen of Dreams. I was like, oh, hey, this is pretty rad. I'm hoping we get more, maybe one more like new wave of trad metal, like kind of riffy band in here. The closest to that would be Greyhawk. But it was nice having like 2 or 3 of those this year, so I'd take one more of those. Let's get Visigoth going. Visigoth are sick.
Sure, why not?
and for all the, they don't really have any symphonic bands except for 7 Spires up there. Maybe get like Dialith. I think they'd be a good taste, a good pick, I think.
Oh, Dialith are from the US?
Yeah, they're like Boston or some shit.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Yeah, that could work.
Yeah, you wouldn't think it.
Yeah, I just assumed that they were European or something else.
Danbury, Connecticut.
Whoa.
I don't know what the fuck Danbury, Connecticut is. Cool. But there you go. Like I said, East Coast. They got it going on, apparently.
And so this is looking like it's going to be a really good festival. After we just heard from Kyle that it was a really good festival already. It's just getting better. Just getting better.
Will Ty be able to sell this out? Maybe. I don't know.
Hopefully.
Like, there's still more bands to announce. The lineup's already pretty strong. It's always a tough ask getting to Madison. The economy's kind of fucked right now. Who knows?
It's true. It's true. Getting to Madison seems to be a bit of an ordeal because they are not in, like, it's not a place that has a big airport.
They are adding like a whole other terminal with, I think, more direct flights. Like when I was leaving this time, I noticed they were building another terminal there, and that's what my Uber driver said. So I don't know if that'll be done before like next Mad with Power, but it is being worked on. And like I said, a lot of people who go there are from the Midwest. You'll hear people like, oh, I drove from Minneapolis. Oh, I drove from Chicago. So it's like, fine, but... We exist too, damn it.
Because if we look at if we distribute the festivals that we mentioned in the map, it's like a diagonal line, right? It's because you have Hyperspace, it's in Vancouver, Canada, right?
Yeah, so West Coast, but it's
but
in
it's
Canada.
The top left, basically. Yeah,
it's a very it's top, in Canada. Yeah.
And then we have this one, which is more central, but still in the north of the country. Mm-hmm. But then Broke Power is all the way in Georgia. So we go southeast.
Yeah. So and you've got, if you count Hell's Heroes in like the South Central,
yeah,
Houston.
In Houston. So it's like completely avoiding California.
It is completely avoiding as Southwest. Far as we can get, wow.
As far as we can imagine get from Arizona and California.
It's brutal. But, you know,
yeah.
I'm gonna make it work.
You need a festival in like, I don't know where it would work. In Phoenix, like our friend Andrew has been pushing for.
Yeah, because like, oh, winter. LA is too expensive. We need to do Phoenix in the winter.
Phoenix in the winter, so that it's not a fucking hellscape of heat.
Yeah, whereas like you do Phoenix during all the other festival times, and it's like, oh, it's only 105 today. It's not that bad. It's like, okay. I don't know what that is in Celsius. It's like, I don't know. Like,
I know it's a lot.
Some shit. It's a lot.
That's all that matters. There's a point where it doesn't matter in which unit we're talking. It's all awful.
It's just fucking hot, yeah.
But
so, and like California itself would probably be, I don't know, too expensive.
Yeah, but California is expensive for in general, yeah. For sure.
Indeed. But yeah.
Phoenix in the winter for another festival, that would cover, like, there's a lot of people that would find that, oh, that's actually close enough for me or convenient to fly to or whatever.
Or we should do it in, like, Denver or something. That's one of, like, the biggest hubs in the middle of the country.
Yeah.
Even my, like, middle-of-nowhere airport flies straight to Denver.
Yeah, like, Denver is a big hub.
That could work.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to check.
Ty, move to Denver. Fuck Madison.
Uproot all the goodwill he has there. All
exactly.
No, just you can just add
push it somewhere else.
Add another one. Because all these festivals, right, they are spread out for the year. But you could have a solid one solidly in the winter. In the Southwest.
We're about to hit like a dry spell here.
Yeah,
because like normally you have Prague Power in September, okay, but even after that, there's nothing until next, what is it, April when Hyperspace happens.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it doesn't get that fucking cold out here in the winter, and we don't need to do summer metal festivals.
You basically don't have winter. It becomes
We don't have seasons. It's great.
So like a February. Or something festival. That could be a thing.
It could totally be a thing. But for now, I'm happy to stick with what I can get with the existing metal festivals. All of the four that we've mentioned sort of have, I feel like, a slightly different identity, even if it's like 80% of the same people that go to these same fucking things.
Yeah.
Like you'll, especially at Metal Power and Prog Power, those are being like extremely similar fan bases. I had talked to people who also went to Hell's Heroes, some people who also went to Hyperspace, just as you pal around the scene here.
Yeah, it's nice. I think it's good that there's variety, that they have their own identity. That's important. And you can go to one, two, however many you can actually afford to, or that it's convenient to you. You don't need to go to all of them. And that's also good that you have a chance to go see a bunch of bands all together, have a great time.
Yeah, hang out with your buds, hang out with the metal bands themselves. Mm-hmm. I feel like Mad with Power has maybe the chillest vibe of all of these festivals. Maybe that'll change next year at the bigger thing. I have no idea. Next year's definitely going to be the like... maybe awkward growing pains year, maybe just kind of first time for lots of things, but who knows? I think it should still be pretty rad next year, and I'm happy to see where all these fests are going. Hell's Heroes just announced their lineup, which is looking pretty rad. Their tickets got way more fucking expensive, but...
Yeah, that was interesting, seeing the price jump. But I guess that happens. Doesn't seem to be hurting the attendance, though, because they sold all
they're almost sold out anyway.
Yeah. Like, a lot of people just bought before any band was announced.
Yeah.
So it has...
Like, they were like 50% sold out before they even announced the lineup.
Yeah. So they have the cred working for them.
For sure. All right. And that is, I think, my metal adventure for this year. I've got one more tour coming up with the Sabaton Epica show. But after all my
that's nothing travel, compared to all of this. It's like...
Yeah. And that's just down in Los Angeles. Oh, that's easy. Sure. compared to all of this other bullshit I've done this year. Burning all my vacation days from work
really,
to go to festivals.
You really... You did squeeze everything out of your vacation days. It's like insane.
Single-handedly keeping the fucking metal scene alive out here.
Basically.
And they could at least return the favor and have a closer fucking festival, but okay, whatever.
We should get you like a badge or something that says I did them all 2022.
I did the Grand Slam.
The Grand Slam. The Power Metal Grand Slam.
The Power Metal Grand Slam. I did it, and you can too, with enough vacation and disposable income.
Oh man, should just put it on your on Reddit, like on.
I'm gonna give my own damn self an award.
You should have like the flair on the subreddit. Just I did the Grand Slam 2022.
Ask me about the Grand Slam.
Oh man, that's great.
And for you as an outsider, looking in on our little metal scene here, how does it make you feel about this? Because you're down in Buenos Aires. You're saying, come to Argentina, come to Brazil, or whatever it is that you do down there.
So it's interesting because the U.S. is very unique.
Mm-hmm.
It's because your country is not only huge. It's just a bag of other smaller countries that act like one. So this is why you have all these big festivals. We don't have that. In Argentina, Buenos Aires is where everything happens. And then you have the rest of the country. And everything that happens in the rest of the country is comparatively smaller. Most people will be fine and assume that they have to travel to Buenos Aires or maybe Cordoba, which is another city that's getting larger, to see a show or a big festival. There are a lot of small festivals, don't get me wrong, everywhere, all the time. There's music happening all the time. But they are very much smaller than this. They are like, this day in this venue, these bands are playing. And they call it a festival because they decided to call it a festival. You know? It's not this big machine like Tice Festival or Hyperspace or nothing like Pro Power for Power Metal. It's more like five bands got together and pulled the money to hire a venue that day. So they call it a festival.
Sure.
That probably happens every week in Buenos Aires, at least, and probably around the country. There are some specific fests. There are even some power metal ones that are like, we got these bands, we package it all as this brand of festival, but it happens in wherever venue they find that month. It's not like this thing that happens. I think there's one that it's happens.
The institution that we've kind of turned it into here.
Exactly. Like you have these 4 points of like, come meet here every year. I don't think we have one for power metal that's like that. There are songs for other other genres or for specific big bands, but nothing exactly like this. Just because... I don't know, it's like the concentration of fans. All the fans are concentrated in specific places a bit more than in the US. In the US, you have a lot of people traveling like you to other states or to the other side of the country to see these free power metal bands that they will not see if they don't do that. But here it's like most of the fans will be in the place where the band plays. You know what I mean? It's like everything is more concentrated. If a band comes to Buenos Aires, they probably can pull 1,500 people.
Because it's just the entire country is just...
Yeah, boom, because most of the population is there. You have the big cities. You have like, I don't know, 10 huge cities in the US. We have one huge city.
Like very, very huge.
Yeah. like talking the whole metro area. So it's not the same at all, which is also like the thing where you get bands, big bands that are touring South America versus touring the US. Those two things are like, it's more likely.
Because they can do one city per country.
Yeah, and doing that one city per country, it's like you get the amount of people that you get in each city justifies the tour versus the US, where you probably have those same distances between the cities, but each city has so few of the actual fans of the country. That's something that you can see. This is something interesting for everyone that doesn't know. The bands, nowadays, you have data from Spotify where you can see as an artist, okay, this is for this month, this country has the most listens, the most streams from my songs. But you also have the cities. And it happens a lot that the US will be your top country in listeners. Maybe most of your listeners are in the US. But then when you go by city, the first US city to show up is like outside of the top 20. So,
and then you might have like, here's Helsinki, Finland, and Stockholm, exactly. Sweden, and Rio de Janeiro as like your top cities or
exactly.
something.
Exactly. So you probably have 1,500 listeners in the US if you're a small band, but your top city is Helsinki with 500 people there. And those are all the people in Finland that listen to you, but they are all in one place. And the city that has the most listens for you is Toledo, Ohio. And there's 10 people there.
Or one person who just listens the whole fuck time.
Yeah. So that's the thing. You have a bunch of people spread out throughout the US. But since you compute it as one country, it kind of breaks down. It's good for your streams and everything. Oh, I should do content for the US. But then if you want to do a tour, you need people in the same city to go to the show. So that's why a lot of tours don't go to the US. You are all spread out through such a huge piece of land that it's really hard.
We need to just take our giant fucking country and just, there's a lot of empty space. So let's just compress it.
Just
all.
Compress it. Let's do the US.rar and just remove all this empty space.
Yeah. So, just shove it all there. Instead of pushing it somewhere else, just push it all together.
Yeah. Just mush it all.
Easy.
What's the worst that could happen?
Nothing could possibly go wrong.
Nothing could possibly go wrong.
In this wonderful wild world of ours.
Yeah.
All right. I think that will just about do it for the metal festivals this year. Thank you for joining me on my rants about all of these, Fernando.
Oh, this is great. I love hearing about it.
Live vicariously.
Yeah, because I can't do all these things like you guys do, but I hear about it and it's nice having all this info. It's nice. Very nice.
Awesome. Well, until next time, my friends, you remember to stay powerful.
Stay powerful, everyone.